Oh, yeah.
Well, every now and then you run into one of those, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I see y'all are still smiling because y'all already know that when you got a God-sized problem, you got a God that's willing to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you got a God-sized problem and you don't have anyone like God willing to work on it, you got to go. But if you got a God-sized problem and you got a God, like we got.
Yeah.
Can work on it.
Amen.
Man, that's pretty good.
Amen, amen.
Well, let me start you off with a little bit of scripture this morning. Good. Ezekiel 37. If you don't have it memorized, it's the one about the valley of dry bones, you know.
Okay.
So you've all heard this one, you know. It's not anything really weird or anything, but let's see what I got here. Okay. Ezekiel 37, I'm just going to read, and this is familiar with everybody, I'm sure. Ezekiel had God-sized problem. Judah had a God-sized problem.
Yep.
Man.
They were so scattered. They were, you know, they'd gotten sunk so far away from God, idol worship and all this other stuff. And most of the good guys were taken off to Babylon, never to be seen again.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that were still there wanted to take off with Jeremiah to Egypt, you know. It's like, man, I don't think there's going to be a nation of Israel ever again. So that's kind of a God-sized problem, don't you think?
Yeah.
Let me read here what it says. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry."
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Not much hope there, folks.
Mm-mm.
Very dry.
Very dry.
And he said unto me, "Son of man, can these bones live?"
Mm.
And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest."
Good answer.
Hey, I don't know. Don't look at me. You know. Oh, you're the only one that knows, right? Mm-hmm. Again, he said unto me, "Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is there power in the word of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen.
You're reminded of Genesis 1:1.
Mm-hmm.
When everything that was created by
Jesus,
the word of the Lord.
That's right.
In the beginning was the
word.
Word. And God said, and it was so.
And the gospel is the power to salvation.
There you
not
go.
Islam, not Muhammad, not
right.
false teaching.
That's right.
The gospel cuts through everything.
There you go.
The person's willing to receive it.
That's the good news.
It's real.
So he said to me, "Prophesy unto these bones and hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live."
Whoa.
"And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord."
Jesus.
So, I prophesy as I was commanded.
Mm-hmm. All right, come on in.
And as I prophesied, there was a noise.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, it was shaking.
Whoa.
And the bones came together, bone to his bone.
Mm-hmm.
And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above,
but
there was no breath.
Come on in.
Well, God-sized problem.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a little bit, Lord, but you can't do it all. He can do it all, right?
That's right.
He can do it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, then said he unto me, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain."
Four winds, all right, come on.
"That they may live."
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army.
exceeding great honor.
Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts.
Jesus, no hope.
Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel.
Yes.
And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and
graves.
Brought you up out of your graves.
Mm-mm.
Whoa. Now the deal is, did God speak to the bones so they'd live?
No, he spoke through Ezekiel.
Whoa. Whoa.
You.
I love this group. They always come up with right answers. I love this. You know, I have to search around this. Bam, right to it. You know? Those bones were in the valley. It was a God-sized problem.
Yeah.
In the valley, down.
In the valley.
Yeah.
Okay.
But God didn't speak to the bones.
Mm.
Ezekiel saw the bones and he said, Whoa. This is a God-sized problem.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, oh yeah, but I'm telling you.
Come on now.
I'm telling you to
Jesus.
Speak.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you to speak.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's you right. Speak the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Speak.
See what happens.
Shout out that mm-hmm.
Speak the word of the Lord.
What you hear.
And see God what happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Uh-huh.
See what happens.
Yeah.
And it happened.
And you know what? Sometimes when we speak,
Jesus,
we may not see it the first time we speak, can we?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the call comes for persistence.
Mm-hmm.
Persistence.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing the word of the Lord, right? So he spoke the first time, and he was like, we got sinews,
mm-hmm.
we got skin.
Uh-huh.
We got the muscles and all that kind of stuff. All the bones are joined together. They're just lying there.
They come
to
church.
We just lie there.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the people back in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the life?
Whoa.
You can bring people good. Back to the land.
Yeah.
But are they God? Are they God's people?
Uh-huh.
Are they still rebellious people?
Yeah.
You can bring the people back to the land.
Yeah.
You can put them in the right place.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But they need what?
The life of God. No.
They need a new spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
They need a new
good.
Spirit.
It's real good.
You see. They come back to the land, but there's no spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the spirit of God?
Mm-hmm.
So he speaks again. He says, this time, I want the breath to come into you. Yeah. I want the spirit.
The holiness. Amen.
Yeah. You know, and God said, well, in another place, he says, I'm going to bring my people, and I'm going to put a new heart and a new spirit within them.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that prophecy? He says, I'm going to put a new heart and a new spirit within them. That was an Old Testament prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And did it come true? Yeah, Pentecost. Pentecost. A new heart and a new spirit. A new heart and a new spirit. These bones, it looked like, they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Right? Forget it. It's over with. New heart and new spirit. How are we doing on time, Barry?
Yeah, our time clock walked in, but you walked in early.
Okay. Okay. You keep looking at your watch. Where's one of your watches? Glad you got here early. Good to see you.
How are you?
Okay. You messed up Barry's time clock, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
We off time until we see him come. On the clock.
You're making her nervous over here. Okay. All right. So what about, and I, yeah.
You know, God really saw them in the grave. I mean, yeah. He called them out of the grave.
Yeah.
He called Lazarus out of the grave. They were bad condition.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
They were donut dead. They were dead. They were seriously dead.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't want to get too much into this, but the people of Israel, of course, you know, you had a divided kingdom. You had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The northern kingdom, they got judgment on them earlier than the southern kingdom, okay? Assyria, from up north, came down and defeated them. And what Assyria's way of doing things is they would take all the people in the land, they would take this part and send them to one place, and then this part and send them to another place, this part and send them to another place, and resettle them all in different places.
Mm-hmm.
So they were scattered. That's where it talks about the scattered, the tribes of the dispersion.
Mm-hmm.
And when James writes in his book, he says, to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, they just got scattered all over
mm-hmm.
the Assyrian Empire. And that way, with little groups here and there, they couldn't put together a rebellion.
Yeah.
And that's the way Assyria did things. The southern kingdom came along, their judgment came along later, and they got taken to Babylon. All right? So they would take the best people and take them to Babylon.
Yeah.
And resettle them there. All right?
Uh-huh.
That's the worst people down here. The poor people, the old people, the infirms, and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so, and they're down here in the southern kingdom, and they're already planning on going to Egypt, rebelling against Babylon again, you know,
yeah.
and going somewhere else. You know. So the whole thing was just so scattered. You got Israel scattered all over the Assyrian Empire. You got the southern kingdom, mm-hmm. Judah scattered, you know, all in Babylon, you know, and wrapped up in Babylon. It's like, how's God going to ever enter their hearts again?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just like, Jesus.
You know, dead. It's like, wow. And so God had to give Ezekiel this vision so he could see, look, this is a God-sized problem, but you got God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on.
But you've got God.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to just fold up and fall apart like a cheap chair, you know. It's just you know, like a cheap folding chair, you know, just falling apart, you know. He said, look, you've got God. Speak the words that I give to you. And they have power. They have power when you speak the words that God has given you. And you understand now, I'm talking to myself now, all right? I'm talking to myself as much as to you, maybe more, okay?
All of us.
And so, you know, I think, well, I've got a God-sized problem in your life. What's a God-sized problem in your life? And it's a problem that you look at and you say, I have no idea what to do. I don't know if there's anybody that can help this problem.
Mm-hmm. Come on in.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this might be a little bit hard for God, you know. It might stretch him, you know. He's like, whoa, you know. This is a toughie, you know. And so, what do you do? What do you do? Can you? Are there problems that big? Can you see problems that big?
Mm-hmm.
Bigger than an addiction? Bigger than a drug, not you, you're drug addict, but you work with drug addict, you know, people. But, you know, are there problems worse than just being totally wrapped up in an addiction like that? Are there problems worse than financial problems, not having anything? I know a guy who got out of prison, he was living in a house, and there was drugs all over, and his house burned down. He had no job, no money, no car, no house, no place to live. Where was he supposed to go? What was he supposed to do? He had, he also had some medical problems on top of all that. He had, because of his past dealings in prison and drugs and stuff, his family rejected him. Wouldn't have anything to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, where do you go? What kind of thing can you do? Well, let me run something by you, because I've been doing some studying lately outside the Bible, but it really is pretty interesting. Some of the stuff I found, and Gwen, you might be able to really identify with some of this stuff. But I'm sure we all know this, but I got this off the internet, and it's the characteristics of people who are totally stuck on themselves. Now, when I say totally stuck on themselves, I'm not talking about self-conceited people, you know, hey, I'm the greatest, da-da-da-da-da, you know, the little stuff. I mean, that's little stuff, okay? Just full of pride, you know, or this pride that we struggle with every day. Or some of this stuff probably in us too, but I know some of it's in me, but I'm talking about people who are really, really gone into, you know, their whole life is wrapped up in themselves. And they don't see anything else. They don't see anybody else except as someone who can serve them, serve their needs. So anyway, here's some things. You know, it's just a quick, but think about it as I go through this list and see if you know someone who's like this, okay? And I'm not talking about just a little bit, okay? I'm talking about way. You know, they can't do anything else but this. You know. Anyway, it says here, control freaks, irritability, short fuses, low frustration tolerance, argumentative, need to have the last word, got to have the last word. Boy, I'm getting a lot of nods over here. Y'all are just way out, and I don't know where you are, but these guys know about the world. I'm kidding. All right. Unable to lose, won't take no for an answer. Will not take no for an answer. Quick to anger if you don't accommodate them. They ask you for something and you resist, get angry at you because you're not giving them what they want. Quick to being aggressively defensive if you call them on any deficiency, fault, or responsibility. Wow. Can't apologize. Or if they do, they can't do it sincerely. Rarely say thank you or congratulations. Don't feel or demonstrate remorse. You know, when they do something wrong, they never feel sorry for it. Feel entitled to enthusiastic and appreciative approval, adoration, agreement, and obedience. You're supposed to do that for me, right? You're supposed to obey me. You're supposed to approve of me. You're supposed to adore me. Don't you love me? Don't you see how wonderful I am? You're supposed to recognize that, Brother Charles. And then tell me how wonderful I am all the time. I don't know what's wrong with him, you know? Come on. You know? I mean, they gloat in victory, but they're sullen in defeat. Quick to rage if you humiliate them. This is just a partial list of things. You can probably think of some others. You know, probably have. But, you know, you get to these people, and there's another article much longer, you know, and it talks about 20 different things that these kind of folks do. You know, they manipulate the conversation. They manipulate people. And they no matter if you disagree with them, they show you how you're wrong. You know, put you down, and all this kind of stuff. And these folks are just—they're really a hard person to deal with. You know, they're termed in the medical field, they're termed bipolar, or they're termed psychological or psychotic, or you know, any one of a number of things. You know, manipulative. Probably know the term better than I do, but anyway. And these folks, you wonder, they said there's something wrong with their brains. There's something wrong with their brains that, you know, that causes them to be that way. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with their minds. There's something wrong with their thinking. You know, it's not necessarily their brains, it's their thinking. You know, we're really all like this in one sense or another, aren't we? If you read Romans, he talks about the flesh. Right? He talks about the flesh and the spirit. The spirit wars against the things of the flesh. The flesh wars against the things of the spirit. Right? And Paul says, man, it's a battle. I don't know what I'm going to do. The flesh tells me to do one thing. The spirit tells me to do another thing. If I sow to the flesh, I'll reap corruption. If I sow to the spirit, I'll reap eternal life. It's a struggle we're all in. We may not be quite as far down the road. And some of these folks, hopefully we're not. I know you're not. But this is a this is a real problem. And unfortunately, we're seeing more and more of this in the world. More and more people are being diagnosed as bipolar or psychotic or schizophrenic or whatever the term they want to use at the time. And so, you know, we got our kids on Ritalin. You know, we say they're hyperactive, they're disruptive, and all this sort of thing. And you know, used to, you said, this kid's disruptive, he's trying to draw attention to himself. You know, nowadays we say, he's disruptive, let's give him some drugs. You know, and so they don't really deal with the underlying problem. They just say, here, this will calm you down so we can have school, you know. And so you look at these folks and you think, boy, how do you reach these guys? They won't even listen to you. They never ask you a question. They never say, Brother David, how you doing today, brother? How's it going with your family? You never get that. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about things, baby? You know, you're never going to get that from this person. He's always going to come and tell you something about him. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know people like that. I'm seeing a lot of them over here. We're just going, yeah, boy, I know. I can teach this lesson. Yeah.
And, books and some of them.
Yeah.
They get you down after a while.
So. Yeah, they will.
I came in here last Sunday.
Yeah. They will drag you down, and they will catch you off guard. They'll learn your buttons and push them. You know, and it's really difficult. And so it's just like, well, how do you deal with someone like that? I think in my mind, how do I deal with someone like that? I can't even get through to them. They won't even shut up long enough for me to talk to them, begin to get to them, you know. How can I even say the word of the Lord, you know? Right? Come on, Ezekiel, tell me how do I even get a chance to speak the word of the Lord? Because they won't shut up long enough to hear me. And I'm going, well, this is a God-sized problem. You know, if these people get saved, only God's going to be able to save them. You know? Look at, he's laughing over here, man. It's true, isn't it? Yeah. The truth is funny. But it is, you know? And so, you know, I got to thinking about this all today. I said, you know, this is a God-sized problem. But God brought to mind the valley of dry bones. You know? I'm a God that handles God-sized problems. I'm a God who handles God-sized problems. And I can handle this problem.
Amen.
It's not a big deal for me.
Amen.
Because I'm a big God.
Yeah.
And everything for me is a little deal. But I'm going to help you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just going to be God change this and I'm going to walk away. You know? No, I'm going to help you speak the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give you the words to say, specifically give you the words to say. All you got to do is say, thou knowest, O Lord.
Amen.
Thou knowest, O Lord.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but you do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Thou knowest, O Lord. So if we can do that, you'll give us some words.
Yeah.
We can say,
yeah.
Bones, death.
Mm-hmm.
People in the grave, whatever your gun-sized problem is, where there's people like that or whatever it is, financial, spiritual, medical, whatever, to him it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Amen.
And he'll give you the words to say.
Amen.
Wow, that's good.
You know,
that's
the book
good.
Of Acts, it tells us that we are a prophetic people. He said, your sons and daughters, they shall prophesy. The servant, the handmaiden, he included all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We are a prophetic generation. We should be releasing things all the time in the atmosphere because we are that generation. But, you know, I've heard the church lately talking. I'm not talking about this church, but I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ, saying, hey, you know, America, just no hope. They have no hope. I mean, they talk just like the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, get a grip on life. You got a thought. You got the weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They keep saying, we have no help. I'm like, Wake us up, Lord. Help us to see.
Yeah.
That we do. We really got you.
Yeah, I'm done.
You put a stir.
Who would like to pray over who? Anybody?
Apostle.
Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for everyone here. Oh, Lord, bless us to do all that's in your heart. And bless the food for the nourishing and strengthening of our bodies in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.